What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Yanks of the Cop. We are here, your host for tonight, as always, Steve, Wahomie, and Sophie. How are we doing tonight? Sophie, how are you?
I'm good. I'm a little bit thrown by the fact that we're on Tuesday, not like a Friday. It's thrown me a little bit, but I'm all right.
All right. Hey, it's a different night, but still going to be a great show, as always. Wahomie, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Good to be back on. It's been a while since I've been on, so it's good to be back on.
Yeah. Nice long break. We're all feeling refreshed, recharged. We are ready to go. Three Lions just got a win, but we are here for our second transfer news episode of the summer. We had James Pierce on to kick off the window, and now we're bringing on recurring guests. He's one of the founders of LFC Transfer Room. We have our good friend Dan to get us up to date with all the latest news and rumors surrounding Liverpool FC. Dan, thanks for joining us, man. How you doing tonight?
Hey guys, how's it going? Very happy to be on. Also very happy that you guys have grown a lot over the past few months, and very excited to get on talking transfers and stuff.
Hell yeah. Well, we appreciate you, Dan. You always come on every window, and we super, super appreciate it, getting your knowledge, because there's always so many different links that come out either for outgoings or inbounds, and we never know. Is this source legitimate? Is this source not legitimate? So really hoping that you can shine some light for us today. And obviously there's been a ton of news, and where I want to kick off is actually probably the latest news that we got. And that came out yesterday. And that was the fact that Nico Williams is potentially looking for a way out and looking for some more first team football. So, you know, what can you tell us about the validity of this news coming out? And, you know, if it is, you know, true, where are some teams that could be looking at his services, and, you know, any rumors on a potential price tag for him?
So I'm pretty sure this one is one that came out of surprise for everybody. We were really looking for a loan move for Nico Williams. It looked like it was an expected move. We all know how highly club rates Williams. But it seems like he had a change of heart over the past hours. We were speaking to a Southampton reporter the other day, and they were saying that they've been chasing Nico Williams for over a year and a half now. And, you know, like how they got to Kumi Minamino, they were actually expecting to get Nico Williams as well last window. So it seems that if there's one team that is going to get Nico Williams on in the front runner ones, seems to be Southampton, surely. They've been speaking to them already for over a year and a half. He knows that he wanted him. I feel looks like they can secure him a starting spot. I'm not sure how highly Southampton rates. I believe it's Valeri who's playing on the right back side of the back line. But you know, with Nico Williams, you have someone that can offer you a left back and a right back. Versatile player, so anything.
Oh yeah, Dan just dropped out. He'll be back momentarily. But what did you guys think of that news that came out about Nico Williams potentially looking for a loan move, and on top of it, that Liverpool may not actually find a replacement for him and have Joe Gomez play right back? Well, homie, I'll start with you.
Yeah, no, like, well, I like Nico Williams. You know, I don't feel like he's what we need in terms of a right back. You know, like, when we think of obviously the kind of fullbacks Liverpool need in our team, we need like someone who's obviously good going forward and good attacking wise. I think since I've watched Nico, I've never seen Nico really offer anything really going forward for us. So I always felt that, you know, last summer I know Hover wanted it out, but I always felt like we sold the wrong right back. Should have been Hover that stayed and Nico had been sold. And I think obviously Nico could go on to be a really good right back for a team like Southampton, or I just don't think he's what Liverpool need or off what Liverpool need in terms of attacking fullback, in terms of the way we play football. So for me, you know, ideally, like, if we get 10 million for him, I'll take that any day. I think that's a great deal. You know, especially for what, you know, how many games he's played for us, I think it's a great deal. In terms of not signing anyone to replace him, I think that's going to be another massive mistake we did at centre back. You know, I think Liverpool are past the level when we have like band aids covering a right back, Ben. And plus, I know this thing of Gomez at right back, but Gomez never looked comfortable to play right back. You know, like he's always been caught out defensive at right back, especially for balls owed behind him at right back. He doesn't offer anything going forward. So I think like putting a centre back to cover Trent is a mistake. And I think Ox, I know that, you know, Ox left Arsenal because he didn't want to play right back. You know, he didn't want to play wing back, he wanted to play midfield. So, and plus, I think like this is Ox back in 2017, we're playing at right back. I would feel comfortable doing it because I think Ox put himself about there. He was willing to, you know, run up and down the pitch, do the defensive work. I think Ox now, especially when he plays midfield, you don't see him willing to do like the tackle diving challenges or do the kind of pressing he used to do because of the injury, which is totally understandable. So I just feel that if you put him there at right back, I don't think he's going to do the defensive side that you would expect. So I think it's going to be a risk playing a right back. I don't want to see Fabinho playing a right back, even though he did it at Monaco. So it's just one of the things. I think we'd have to get a right back if we're going to sell Nico Williams as a cover. Because I don't want to see Milner either, because you know his age now, you don't really have to see Milner in an extended run at right back, even though he can do it. You know, so I think it would be a mistake as we do a centre back if we don't get a cover from to replace Trent. You don't want him playing as well. You don't want him playing like 60 games a season as well. So this is just my feeling of it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And Dan, we'll come back to you in just a second, man. But Sophie, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, it drives me crazy when I see Joe Gomez play right back because he's not a right back. It's like, what are you?
Bye to Nico. Thank you. Bye. 10 million, brilliant. He never played. Even when Trent was injured or Trent wasn't available for whatever reason. You can say Klopp thought highly of Nico Williams, but he never played him. Never, ever played him. He didn't trust him to play. And when he did play, he came on at like the last 10 minutes of a game. He's not Liverpool ready. And if we can get some money, a couple of million for him, happy fucking days. He's barely played any minutes of football, by all means. But in regards to whether we're signing a right back to, you know, to replace him, who is out there available right now in the market? Go and look at the transfer market. Go and look at the state of clubs all across, you know, Europe, etc., etc. Go and look at them.
Yeah.
Where are you going to find a right back who is the standard that Liverpool expect in a player for a reasonable fee, who is happy to play on the bench and wait for his turn? And every now and then, you're not going to find a player of the quality we want. It's going to have to be, if we want a new right back, it's going to have to be somebody who's homegrown. We're going to have to get somebody from the academy and build them up and that. We're just going to have to wait for a while. And in regards to Gomez having to play right back, well, Trent very rarely misses any games. And if he does miss those games, the players that are on the pitch are normally very good at covering around him. So even if we do play Milner at right back, okay, it's not ideal.
Yeah.
You play Milner at right back, you've got Henderson, Thiago, Fabinho, you've got Robbo, you've got Virgil, you've got Canate now. It's fine. You want to put Gomez in right back? Okay, you've still, but you're not leaving that issue. The issue we had before we signed new centre back is if we didn't have Trent on the pitch and Gomez had to move into right back, then we lost a centre back.
Like, yeah.
It didn't work. And Tomiskus just brought up Chris. He can actually play on the right.
Yeah.
He can actually play on the right. So if needs be, we've got somebody there. But at the end of the day, I just think you're going to be very hard-pressed to find somebody who will meet the criteria we want and be happy to be a bench player. Like, I just don't see it happening. And Nico knows that. Nico knows he's never going to get a chance in hell.
Yeah.
If you're the understudy to Trent Alexander-Arnold, you're never going to get a game time, are you? So let him go.
Yeah, and Jason Williams chat here, he says, you know, he can't see a replacement for Nico being signed. Milner or Gomez will cover. Could do with one more, though. I mean, I agree, but it's just not going to – it's going to be tough to find that replacement. You know, Steve from Who's That Behind the Stat, if you haven't checked out his channel, you should. He does great work for match predictions. Max Aarons wouldn't be a bad backup. He would be a great backup, but, again, like Chris Welch says here and like Sophie said, like, he's great, but – Norse is going to want a ridiculous fee for him, and he's not going to want to be a backup. He literally will. You can count on one hand how many games he'll play in the Prem if Trent's healthy. So I just don't see that happening. I think it makes sense for that. But I want to get back to Dan here. Dan, did you any rumor on a potential price tag for Nico Williams? I think he'd be great at Southampton. I mean, you see what they did with like a guy like Kyle Walker-Peters. So he could be a good fit for them.
It seems like, surprisingly, it seems like a player of his caliber, and I'm talking like a player with huge potential, looks like Liverpool are trying to get around £10 million for him, at least from what James Pearce was reporting the other day. I think it's a very low fee considering that he can actually cover both flanks. He is a starter for Wales. Well, actually, I don't know if they've been starting him a lot, but he's been playing regularly for them, and that's a given. It's going to be really hard to replace him, of course, not really because of his ability, but mainly because Liverpool are going to be concentrating this summer on midfield and forward targets. Plus, you know, you have the James Milner, Joe Gomez, like you guys were saying, Fabinho. We have a surplus of right back cover, but not actual right backs, you know, in the team. So it seems like a very club thing to do to just stick with the three options that we have for right back and not go for a backup. But it looks like $10 million would be a good price that Southampton can actually afford, you know?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Tumbleweed.
Tumbleweed going down. But, yeah, I mean, Dan, so, I mean, another player that has been linked away from us for numerous windows now, still hasn't left on the permanent yet, Marco Grujic. Seemed like the one team that was going to be a perfect fit for him would be Porto. You know, I spent on loan there, had a decent loan spell from what I can tell. But now it seems like they may have pulled out on Grujic, and I think he's one of the guys, along with Harry Wilson, as must sell this window. I think we missed our opportunity with those guys past windows. Is there any other team that he could be potentially, you know, be a target for a permanent transfer?
Well, I'm pretty sure you guys know of Hertha Berlin, which he was already on loan a couple seasons back, actually. It seems like it's going to be a battle between Porto and Hertha Berlin. But from reports, it looks like Grujic has his mindset on a Porto move. It really depends if Porto are willing to pay his price tag, or if they're willing to use Fabio Oliveira as a bargain chip, you know. He's a new link. He's a new player. Looks like he has a 30 million euros release clause. Early reports were saying that they value him actually at 20 million euros, which is around 17 million pounds. And it seems like that's exactly what Liverpool are looking for to get for Grujic. So if they can somehow work out an exchange deal, which seems very unlikely, with the whole situation that Porto are in, they want cash, and they want to get players for on the cheap. I think like it's a very unlikely move. But if there's one team that it looks like he's starting to move to, it's Porto. Given that they sell their one of their midfielders, which looked like they're on their way out.
Dan, with Grujic last summer, one of the big things I felt that, you know, when it came to, you know, Michael Edwards and the club overall, is the fact that we priced players out of moves last summer. You know, I think we wanted 25 million or 20 million for Grujic and Wilson each, and like 25 million for Origi. And I think obviously a year later, I don't know, I haven't really obviously tracked Grujic on his loan this past season or so, but like, isn't it this time now we're going to have to take a loss just to get rid of him? Like, we can't really, you know, not selling Grujic and Wilson last season cost us a centre-back in the summer. You know, we couldn't afford to get a centre-back after we signed Thiago. So, like, is it more the case just like, look, this summer, just like, look, take 15 million for him, same with Wilson, just to get him, get rid, because we don't want a situation where we're stuck with them, especially with them having, like, I think both got only, like, two years left in the contract. You know, so isn't it just best instead of trying to hold out for 20 million or something, just get rid of them, 15 million, take a loss, just to move them on?
Dan, you may be muted, mate.
Yeah, so it seems like, I mean, of course, everybody, like most of the fans, really want Liverpool to just get rid of players, right? I mean, I'm one of those, the ones that think, you know, like, just sell Harry Wilson, even if we're 7 million, if you could. But every time Liverpool sign players or they get players from the academy, it seems like they value them at a certain price. So per se with Grujic, the reason why Liverpool are staying with him for so many years and not selling him is because, as you guys may know, they expect to sell Grujic, well, they expected to sell Grujic for at least 30 to 35 million when he he first arrived to Liverpool. It seemed like his progress was evidently, he had a huge potential. But now that things kind of turned down, it's very hard for the club to just say, you know what, let's just take 10 million, let's just take 12 million, because they have such high standards. So if they're going to take a toll and they're going to take such a hit, an impact with finances, because, you know, they already expected to get more money for him. At least they're going to try to get as much money as possible. And just lowering down their demands is not something that Liverpool do. You know how Michael Edwards works and all this whole type of stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, I agree with Chris Welch here. Like, I don't want to be here next summer saying the same thing, talking about selling Grealish and Wilson. And I agree with you, Dan, but we just got to, like, I understand where Liverpool's coming from, but we got to get them out.
Yeah, I think I don't know how much moving on to Wilson. I don't know how much Wilson's played, you know, this summer as well. Like, we're looking at his amount of playing time for even for Wales.
Would you guys value Harry Wilson? We can all agree that his value has definitely gone down. Even though he's had a successful Cardiff loan spell, most of the people we've spoken to some Cardiff fans and Cardiff reporters, and they say that they see Harry Wilson as one of their best players and not their best player at Cardiff. But obviously, they don't have the cash and the amount needed to pay for him for what's needed. So the problem is that if it's not Cardiff, it has to be someone else from the Championship. But at the moment, nobody from the Championship seems like they'll be able to afford such amount that we're asking for him, which is, you know, maybe 15 million plus. So it's either, at this point in time, it's either we take a lower fee for Grealish, for Harry Wilson, or we send them on loan again. So at this point, we're just trying to see if these players can just keep getting their price tag up. Obviously, this is from a Liverpool perspective, because from a fan perspective, I will get rid of Harry Wilson 2 seasons ago, you know.
Yeah, Dan, have you heard anything about in terms of anyone who's interested in Wilson? Because I know last summer Leeds were linked to him, but that they didn't go for him in the end. But like, do you think, you know, in terms of teams are going after him, like it's going to be Wilson? Because I don't think when we get enough money from a Championship team, if we sell them to a team in the Championship, I think we'll need Wilson to go to a Premiership team to get some decent money.
It seems like the only team really interested with solid interest in him is either Burnley or Leeds United. The only issue is that obviously Burnley's not going to have the money to pay for him. Leeds will have the money, but they have other priorities in their window. I know that Leeds wanted to get Harry Wilson as well as Ryan Kent a couple of seasons ago when they were at Liverpool. They couldn't get Ryan Kent, so it looks like they wanted to get both of them at the same time. So in this point in time, I don't think Leeds see him as a priority. So if it's not Leeds, it's going to be someone else. But I don't think no one really is willing to spend the buck on Wilson. So I mean, could be Leeds or could be Burnley, either or.
Ooh, I think he'd be a good fit for Burnley or Leeds, to be honest. I think he'd be great coming off, like, even if he was like a super sub for Burnley. I mean, for Leeds, for, like, you know, get that late free kick, have him bury that. That could be – I would love to see him stay in the Premier League and see what he can do, because I feel like he's that classic fringe player. Like, he's too good for the Championship and maybe not quite good enough for the Premier League. But it'd be an interesting storyline to keep an eye on, because – again, I think he's a set ball specialist, obviously. I think we can all agree on that. And I just don't know if he has the pace and the other things that's needed to be good in the Prem. So I hope he does find a permanent move just for the sake of his career.
Yeah, I think it's time now we need to get rid of these players, you know.
Yeah.
With the contracts, we can't be here next summer saying we have to get. We need to be selling Grealish and Wilson, because, you know, it's just me. We need. We're sell to buy club, unfortunately, and we need to sell these players on. It's buying them new.
I think we could ask about every player that we want to get rid of. All the fringe players. We could sit here and ask about who are the targets for, how much are they going for, till we're blue in the face. But if any past seasons or anything to go by, we don't know what's going to happen with any of them. A lot of the time, we think they're a goner, and they end up going out on loan or staying. And it might just be Liverpool have a very set price tag in mind for these players and are going to settle for nothing less, or maybe there's just no interest.
Right.
And this year is going to be more difficult than normal years because every club is struggling with the financial burden, and they're not going to be wanting to buy, you know, spend 20 million on Grujic or, you know, 30 million or whatever on Origi. They're not going to want to spend that, are they?
Absolutely. And just like Sophie is saying, I mean, Liverpool is one of those clubs that just make moves very, like, very calculated moves. So if you ever see Liverpool go for a youngster, you got to keep in mind that a lot of people have been behind. It's not like just club ask for a player and they get him. You know, you got scouts behind him, analytic team behind him. You have different types of movement and people involved with this move. So if they go out for a move, it's a move that they expect to make money from a few years from now. So just like Sophie's saying, like, Liverpool already have a price tag in mind. So they're not going to be willing to negotiate for something lower. And if by any chance this price tag goes down, they're going to fight as much as possible to get the best deal possible from them. So I feel like that's the reason why we stick with Harry Wilson, with Marco Grujic, with players such as Ben Woodburn, as an example. Just a few of them are just a prime example of that.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I'd sell them for a pack of digestive biscuits at this point, to be honest with you. Like, you could dunk that in your tea a couple of times, you'd be sounding like, thank you, Origi. Thank you. But, like, I just sell them for a packet of biscuits, or like an IOU for a packet of waivers or something. I just want them gone. More than anything, I don't really care about the price tag of them. I know, as Dan's just said, Liverpool are a team that really are quite analytical about it, and they're very rigid in essence as to how they go around their business in the transfer market. But at this point, I think any Liverpool fan would just bite your hand off for like a piece of paper that says he's gone. Like, I just want them gone. It just saves on the wage bill for me, even if we don't get, like, recoup a lot of money for them, it just saves on wages.
Exactly. But...
I'm less confused.
No, I mean, good shit. Good analysis, Soph. That's why you're here, and we appreciate
it. Yeah, definitely.
Lock it up.
She has a point, though.
Honestly, everyone, now you know what, Dan, all the lads say something, they'll go, oh yeah, great. I say something and Steve goes, yeah. And then fucking go, I don't. Welcome to the new gangs of the cop, Dan. They are bullies.
Love it. Oh my God.
Moving on,
because you're a bully.
Moving on to Shaq, like, he's obviously had a really good Euros. You know, those two goals yesterday, like, showcased again, like, what he can offer in the right system. And obviously, I think for Liverpool is that we're not set up the way Switzerland are to play to sheer strength. So he's not going to, you know, have the freedom he did for, like, Switzerland in terms of the central role he plays at Liverpool, you know. But I think that obviously that goals yesterday should boost his transfer value. So I think, like, and the last summer we wanted 15 million for Shaqiri. I think we should at least get 20 million from this summer. What do you think about that, Dan? Do you think we can get 20 million for Shaqiri, especially after how good has been the Euros?
Absolutely. I mean, I really think Liverpool are waiting to see what's going on with the Euros in order to bring up the price of a lot of players. One good thing about Sheridan Shaqiri is that, luckily, a lot of Italian sides are still that were interested in him a year ago are still interested in him now in the summer. We're speaking about Lazio. We're speaking about Roma. Obviously, this is coming from reports from Italy that the claim that these teams are interested in him. So it's good to know that despite his age, despite his injuries, and despite the fact that he hasn't really played as much for Liverpool, he's actually still having teams behind him, you know? So it looks like after the Euros, we will be able to get the fee that we actually won for Shaqiri. I mean, it's just common sense because he just he's doing great for Sutherland. The only thing is that the team that goes for him needs to be a team that is willing to put him down as the star player. You know, that's the Shaqiri that was at Stoke City. Shaqiri doesn't really do well surrounded by a bunch of stars like in Liverpool. He needs to be like in Sutherland, the center of attention, the number 10, or in Stoke City, the best player. That's how he shines. That's how you get the best out of him. So maybe in a team like Lazio or Roma that doesn't have a bunch of stars, you know, it will be a great place for him to shine. So it will be very interesting. I think a move to Italy will make a lot of sense. And I think we're actually getting exactly what we wanted from Shaqiri, which is a great Euros performance, you know?
Yeah, he does always seem to perform on the international stage. So I think this Euros for us in terms of getting him off the books came at a perfect time. Obviously, he's having a hell of a tournament again. And yeah, if we can get 20 mil for him, I'd be ecstatic. I think that'd be a great move for him too, especially going over into Italy. I think that's a league that he would thrive in, put in the right situation. So definitely, I think things will be a lot more active once the Euros are over, especially for outbounds. So hopefully he can, have one more good performance, or they might be out. Either way, you know, he did enough, I think, to warrant a 20 mil move. But then the other one I wanted to ask you about is Nat Phillips, because I think he's kind of become a cult hero here for Liverpool. But I also think that I hope we can keep him. I think he'd be a great, fifth option for us. But I also think if he wants to move elsewhere to play first team football, he's earned that right. What are you hearing on the potential that Liverpool, are we trying to keep him? Is there a lot of interest in him? What's going on the Nat Phillips front?
So this one seems like a very interesting scenario. As you guys know, most of local outlets and most of local journalists actually claim that Liverpool are willing to keep Nat Phillips. But if you think about it, the situation that he's on right now, he's proven to be a Premier League player. You know, he knows that there's going to be a lot of teams behind him. And it's really a matter of with Konate, and is he willing to take the four choice center back spot? I don't think he's going to be too willing to do that. So it's going to be really laying on his hands, you know. There's tons of teams behind him. A bunch of reporters have already said it. And one thing that is very interesting is the fact that, I don't know if you guys saw, but Ozan Kabak's price tag, obviously he's not going up because he's not playing in the Euros. So the Schalke are not able to afford his wages. They already got relegated. They're getting rid of tons of players. So they're desperately going to need for some team to just go out and try to get him. So this could be a really interesting move to see if Liverpool are willing to go back for Ozan Kabak and just let Nathaniel Phillips move. It just really relies on Nat Phillips' hands, because I'm pretty sure you guys know and he knows that he's not going to get as much game time. It doesn't really matter how much Jurgen Klopp rotates, you know, because once you're the fourth or fifth center back choice, you just rely on injuries and you just hope that the main starters get injuries so you can play. So it's I do think that Nat Phillips is going to be pushing for an exit, but obviously it's going to be up to him, you know. If he does end up trying to push for an exit, you know, Ozan Kabak seems like a no-brainer, especially if Schalke cannot afford his wages. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in that end.
I have a question for Sophie. Like, Sophie, if someone offers 20 million for Phillips, you take it?
No.
What do you guys think he's valued at? I mean, like, obviously after his whole performance,
you're not having him.
Sophie loves him. So Sophie loves
him. You're top genie. You're not taking Phillips. You can fuck off.
You gotta consider he's what 20? Is he 24 years old now? So for a player that is four choice in the Premier League, you're going to be looking for a fee below the 20 million. And considering that Nat Phillips has only had a good 6 months in the Premier League, it's definitely, his value is going to be somewhere in between 10 to 15. So Yeah. This is still a pretty good bargain for any Premier League side on the bottom of the table. So, he's going to have a lot of people behind him.
I saw, I think it's Stoke or someone are asking for one of the centre backs who's barely hasn't played anything. I think they said, I think it was the Echo said that they want 20 million for this guy if he's barely played. And if you think about Nat Phillips has had at least a really good 6 months of the Premiership. So, you know, like, if this guy is so can ask 20 million for a player that's barely played in the football, then you should at least be getting 20 million for Phillips. You know, I think Phillips played really well for us. And I think it's been commendable. I knew he's going to do that. It's been commendable what he's done, Liverpool. I just think, look, ideally, I get where people obviously have loved Phillips. I just think, like, in terms of what when we think about Liverpool centre-back, we need our centre-backs to be able to... I just think with Phillips and when it was Williams or Kabak, I just think it was a lot of last-ditch defending, a lot of last-ditch clearances. I think that kind of worries me. And I think... in terms of if it's a fifth choice centre back, then fair enough. I'd have Phillips. I wouldn't have Phillips as one of my main four centre backs. And I just think, like, with his situation now, his stock's not going to be any higher than it is now. He's not going to get higher next season. So I think, like, if you're getting 20 million for Phillips now, I would take it because I think you can get someone else in. I'm not the biggest fan of Kabak, to be honest, either, but if you were going to pay 20 million for Kabak to have him there, then fair enough. I just feel like with Phillips, he doesn't. When you want a centre back, I want a centre back that is good passing range. That's what we're after. Klopp centre backs have good passing range, that they are can play high up the pitch, good region of danger. And I just think a lot of times, I think a lot of people forget, even the last running games. Alisson was making a lot of goal line clearances or kind of line clearances, a lot. And if you look at when it's kind of like when it's Fabinho, Matip, or Gomez, Matip, or Fabinho, Van Dijk, or any one of those combinations, Alisson isn't coming off his line at least every game like he does. But the other times, yeah, when you're playing a big team, but not all the time. And that's a worry for me, the fact that when it was Phillips and Kabak or Phillips and Williams, Alisson was having to make at least a big save. There's two big chances per game, minimum, and at least come off his line. And that's a concern defensively. Yeah. You know, so that's just my opinion. Obviously, if we keep Phillips, great.
But it's your opinion.
I'll take 10 million.
You had your hand up, Sophie. What do you want to add?
I did. I was a good girl. Put my hands up. That's a load of shite. That's just come out of your mouth, isn't it, babe? I understand where people are coming from. If now Phillips wants first team football, you know, don't hold out on him. Like, let him go. Get the money while you can. Blah, 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 blah. But if he's happy to stay... He is only young, but homie, you're talking absolute shite. I love you to pieces, but you're talking absolute shite. We're going, oh, well, Alisson has to come off his line and make these big saves, you know, when Phillips plays, but when Virgil plays and when Gomez plays and when Matip plays, they are established defenders. Virgil is the best centre-back in the world. Matip is a fantastic defender when fit. And Gomez is a really good defender as well. He's one of the best defenders in the English League. Like, you're chatting absolute waffle because this is a kid who was never going to play for Liverpool ever. He was going into a championship team. He was loaned out to the Bundesliga. He was basically nothing. And he's come in. And yet he's made mistakes. But he's not going to rock up to the pitch with a fucking black curly man bun and be like, all right, number four.
It's not going to happen, is it?
That's like me walking onto stage and thinking I'm fucking Beyonce. It ain't happening. In no way, shape, or form am I like Beyonce.
Sophie does have a point, especially, I mean, considering that this is the first time that actually Nat Phillips has had the opportunity to work under Klopp for six straight months as the starter center back. So this means that he's been in and out of the training pitch with Klopp. We know, I don't think it's a matter about ability. I think Nat Phillips not only has the ability to improve and eventually even become better than Joel Matip with time, but I think it's going to be a matter of age. He's, like I said, 23. Next year, he's going to be 24. It's going to be the prime of his career. So it's really up to him. I just don't think it's a matter of ability, because we know what a club can do with players of any type of age. You know, just a matter of half a season or a whole season for them to improve. I just find it hard for him to be happy at Liverpool as a poor choice. I don't know if he's going to be willing to take this spot, but I mean, look at what Nico Williams is doing. He's trying to leave, and he's what, 20, 21? So it's going to be very hard to keep a player like that happy on the team with no regular football.
But I think it just comes down to personal opinion, personal preference, doesn't it? Like, we can sit here as fans and say, oh, we find it difficult that Nat Phillips, after the season he's had, is going to be happy to play fourth, fifth choice centre back. But you don't know. He could be really, like, he could be cemented in the team. He could love it here. He could have set a life and established himself, and he might want that. He might want to work alongside, because let's not forget that he hasn't worked alongside Virgil. He hasn't worked alongside Gomez. He hasn't worked alongside Konate, because obviously he's coming in this season. He hasn't got to work much alongside Henderson. You know, a lot of the team players that make it a solid unit haven't been available this season, so he might want to maybe stay another season, play fourth choice centre-back, play in the FA Cup, play in the other cup games, etc., and learn from the best, because there's no denying that what he picks up from these players in training when they come back is going to be invaluable information that he's going to learn, and he can use that in his Arsenal, because we know that Nat Phillips isn't the quickest, but he has got very strong aerial ability. And when you're working with a player like Virgil, who is renowned for his aerial ability, like, the man can jump 6 feet in the air. You know, basketball players can't even jump the way he can. He might want that. You don't really know, and there's no clear idea or information on what Phillips is thinking at the minute. It's just a lot of speculation on either side, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? I mean, I would love to keep him too, but I think he's just earned the right to be, hey, like, Klopp, I want to go, like, to a team that have first, like, you know, first team football. That being said, you look at Joel Matip's injury history, you look at Joe Gomez's injury history, all those two guys and Van Dijk coming off big injuries, like, even though he'd be fifth in the pecking order, that doesn't mean he wouldn't get opportunities to play. So, like, you never know. I think you just have to have the conversation with him. Like, hey, we can get 15 to 20. We'll see. But, you know, that being said, we've covered Nat Phillips. I want to get to some incomings. I think that's really where the fun conversation is. But before we get to that, Dan, I just need to know, is Divock Origi leaving the club this summer or not?
I think this is something that we were touching on last time I was on the pod.
Yes, we were.
And we were saying, I think what we said, I don't know exactly what we said, but we said that there's really no team willing to pay his fee as well. It seems like it's the same thing now. Because we had a few podcasts and a few videos with Aston Villa fans, with different Serie A sites fans, and it really seems like nobody fancies Divock Origi. I mean, there's from the reports, at least from last January or from last summer, the only teams mentioned were a bunch of Turkish teams, which, you know, like, Turkish newspapers tend to be incredibly unreliable. Yep. Wolves, which clearly Wolves already brought in a youngster called Leonardo Campana, who's currently on loan, so they're not going to be looking at Divock Origi as their Raul Jimenez successor. They already have the backup, and they're going to be looking for a top striker, if anything. Aston Villa are going to get nowhere near Divock Origi. They need someone of the level of Watkins or something like that. So the problem is, who's going to be willing to go for him? Because I haven't, at least in the transfer room, we haven't really reported or said anything about any interesting parties on Divock Origi. And I think that's the issue. I mean, I'm pretty sure his wage demands are also going to be pretty high. So the question is, who's going to be willing to go for him? No one. Nobody really wants him.
We missed the mark. Joe sold him after the Champions League, and yeah. Now we've made our bed. We're laying in it. It sucks.
I have a fear that Origi is going to stay and leave it a free in 2 years' time.
Probably. God, he's still here in 2 years. If he's still here in 2 years, my Jesus.
The problem, I think, that I see with Klopp and I see with Liverpool, or whoever is the one that runs contracts at the club, is that they tend to give contract extensions to players as a reward of their actions in the Champions League type of thing. So, you know, obviously, Alisson, I think, is one of the main players on the team, and he deserves a new contract, which is what we've done. But I mean, regardless of what Divock Origi did for us in the Champions League, if you think about it, he didn't serve a contract extension. He didn't have the ability to stay at Liverpool for the club, regardless of what he did in the Champions League season that we wanted. So I don't think we should have done that, but we did it. And now he has so many years left on his contract. And it's really our bad. You know, it's our fault. And as you know, it's part of business. Sometimes you make rash decisions. And it seems like this is going to be one of those.
Yeah.
That's how we all feel about Origi.
That's what happens. We talk about Origi, you get cut out, and that's what happens. So, no, but I thought – I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a really tough window for us to raise the funds that we want to raise, ultimately. There's just, again, with COVID especially, it's going to be really hard for us to sell these guys. No interest in Origi. So, I mean, we might be stuck with what we've got. And hopefully, I think somebody in the chat mentioned this earlier. You might be looking at, you know, potential loans with an option to buy moves, unfortunately. But anyway, let's kind of shift gears. Let's start talking.
One more. So, Dan, have you heard anything of Minamino? Is he coming back to Liverpool? Because I heard Liverpool Echo trying to claim that Minamino is going to be seen as an attacking option for us next season. It's, you know, but you know, is there any concrete stuff with him, Southampton? Like, are they going to, or any other like a German team, someone going to bid for Minamino?
I'm more than sure. I'm actually in the boat thinking that club fully has Minamino in his plans. I think he hasn't had a proper full season working and training under Jurgen Klopp. So I think if he came, he didn't really come only for his price tag, but also because, you know, Jurgen Klopp really sees him as part of his project. I am pretty sure he's going to stay at Liverpool. But one thing that the Southampton manager has, you know, I'm pretty sure you guys know, but he did come out publicly and said that they're in talks with Minamino's and Torich as well as Liverpool's. So it's going to be a matter of if can they convince Minamino to stay to stay at Southampton, either for another loan. I think he's definitely staying. I really think club is not going to give up on him so easily, especially since he hasn't really given him the time, you know. So if anything, it will be Southampton. But I don't think they have the money to pay for 15 million or more for a player of that caliber.
Would you see Minamino fitting in Liverpool team though? Because, you know, there were the games. I think it was we tried between Minamino in a 4-3-3 kind of formation. The few games and he looked a bit lost. I know he looked okay in his Palace, but like you can't play in the front three Minamino. I don't think he's got the pace for that. So unless we're playing a 4-2-3-1, we play with 10. I don't think Minamino works in a 4-3-3. So like, where do you see him fitting in the team then or getting games?
I from watching Salzburg it wasn't last season. When was the season that he came? Like a couple seasons ago. He was playing in a 4-2-3-1 formation. He was the number 10 at times. He was a striker at times. But it seems like he really shines next to a striker. So in a 4-4-2. Obviously, we've seen that Jurgen Klopp did try a lot of formations last season due to injuries. He went from a 4-3-3 to a 4-2-3-1. He even went as far as trying that 4-4-2 multiple times with Jota and Firmino and Mane, you know, and Salah. So, given the fact that Harry Wilson, Divock Origi, Sherdan Shaqiri, and all these players are leaving, we will be able to see a lot of Minamino if he stays, of course, which I'm actually expecting that he stays. And once he's able to get more game time under club and with our players, I'm pretty sure we'll be able to see the best of Minamino. But I think the best of Minamino is next to a striker. I know a lot of people think that he is a false nine or he's a winger or a number 10. But I feel like he needs someone next to him to just deliver, either to deliver the passes to or just to receive the passes and finish off chances. I think a 4-4-2 would be best for him. But, you know, of course, that's the plus side on him. He's able to play in so many formations. And hopefully he stays and we'll see the best of him next season.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the only question, I don't question his ability. I just question his body and does he have the strength for the Premier League and the stamina for the Premier League? That's really my only question about Minamino. I think he has all the talent to be good. I mean, we saw how good he played against Liverpool. The Liverpool players raved about them after they played against them in Salzburg. So I think time will tell. I think another off season will be good in the preseason with the team. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, again, outbounds I think are going to determine a lot about our inbounds. So, but let's talk about some potential inbounds here. Sophie, why don't you kick us off? Who do you want to ask about?
I want Neuhaus.
Ooh,
I want him. You know how I feel about this kid. I think he's just the epitome of Liverpool. I know there was a lot. His early release clause of 34 million lapsed last week or so, and obviously we haven't triggered it. So now Mönchengladbach are going to drive his price up. But someone put up about Neuhaus today. Ian Doyle, that was it. There's a new midfielder at LFC. The summer is looking increasingly unlikely that it'll be Neuhaus. And I'm just wondering, like, is this just speculation to try and like divert interest so Mönchengladbach don't put prices up for him? Or is he actually a viable like prospect for Liverpool? Because I'll be devastated if he's not.
This is one of those that I think is a matter of local against foreign newspapers. It's a battle between reliability, really, because I'm pretty sure you guys seen local reporters and local newspapers have all said that we're not looking for a Wijnaldum replacement. But German outlets mainly are saying that we have already approached Neuhaus and Turridge, and we're already trying to make a move for him. So the thing here is that we already know that I'm not going to name the newspapers, the local newspapers that are saying that we're not going for Neuhaus, but you guys already know that a lot of these local newspapers tend to just close down the speculation regarding players, you know. But all these German outlets that say that we're going for Neuhaus are very, very reliable. And I mean, I don't think I ever posted something from these outlets that have been wrong. You know, we're talking Sport One, we're talking certain Sport Bild journalists. And we're talking about, all these German big house names that are very reliable. So, honestly, if you ask me, who do I side more in between the local journalists and the foreign journalists, especially in the transfer market, I will say go for the foreign one, especially if they're small local German outlets, because they tend to have the inside info. So, if it's down to me, I think after all the stuff that I read and gone over and reliability of journalists and stuff, I think we are actually in for him. It's been claimed by Sky Sports Germany, who are very, very reliable as well, that Liverpool already approached him, and they're trying to see after the Euros how much his price that goes up and down, whatever it is, in order to make a bid. So I really feel like they're just waiting for the Euros to be over and for us to make a bid, because obviously Borussia is going to be waiting for the tournament to end in order to see what price that they're going to ask, with his release clause being expired, you know? So I will definitely give this a go. I think this is definitely a chance of this one happening.
Dan,
you are my favorite person. Homie, shut the fuck up. Thank you. You are my favorite person in the entire world right now. I will come for you.
Because I'd like Neuhaus too. I think he's a very good player. But I'm just off Chris for you, Dan. Is he your favorite? Is he your favorite to come in and not obviously replace Ginny, because I think he plays a different role to Ginny, but come in and be the one we bring in the centre midfielder? Because obviously there's been linked with, some people said Tilsman, some people have said Bissouma. There's also, I saw Kiko linking us with, I haven't really seen this play before, Christoph
Gardner,
yeah. I've not really seen him, but I saw the stats, someone said him, and he's like more of an attacking player. So, like, is Neuhaus for you your choice to come in and be the one that we signed for midfield?
Really, the problem here is that Liverpool are looking for a Wijnaldum replacement, and he doesn't seem to have the traits similar to Wijnaldum. So, for me, if we're talking for a Wijnaldum replacement, we're going to be looking at a similar type of player. But obviously, I think Neuhaus is more attacking. He offers more on that. He offers more threat on that goal end. He shoots from distance. He tries to dribble more. I'm pretty sure I was looking over his stats the other time. He has he's a higher value in stats over dribbles and shots on target and things like that. So he doesn't seem to fit the mold as a Wijnaldum replacement, but he does offer something different to the team. So will he be a great addition? I think he will. But if Klopp really is looking for a Wijnaldum replacement, he should be looking for someone like Yuri Tielemans, because he has the traits similar to Wijnaldum. But in my end, I feel like we need to go for someone with a more attacking mindset. So if Newhouse is the one, or Rodrigo de Paul, who's actually going to Atletico Madrid, or even Barella. But you know, like, Newhouse has traits that Genie didn't have.
Winnie.
So I feel like he's great. So I feel like if they're in the boat for him, I would totally back him up. Obviously, I just don't think they have similarities with Wijnaldum, though.
Mm. Yeah. Alex Manfield, one of our good friends, Alex Manfield, he posted a tweet, I think, last week that showed when you look at Niehaus's stats for recoveries, presses and interceptions over the last 2 years, that he's had more presses, recoveries and interceptions than Ginny, Fabinho, Hendo and Thiago the last two seasons. So that surprised me, because I didn't know he was that good defensively, or that he was that good in terms of presses, interceptions and block recoveries.
That is very impressive. I mean, one thing we do have to consider is that Borussia Mönchengladbach, they actually are a pressing side. So obviously, although all of their plays are going to be pressing, the fact that he's up there with one of the highest ones, it definitely means that shows that he's a club type of player. The question is, he comes from a 4-2-3-1 formation. The question is, can he adapt to the 4-3-3? Or is Jurgen Klopp going to adapt his formation to have someone like him in, you know? I feel like that's going to be the bottom line here. But, I mean, I am totally in the boat to bring in Newhouse. He's great, and he shows some traits that just our players don't have in midfield, you know?
Yeah. I hope we get Newhouse, too. He seems awesome with a lot of upside. But another player that Sophie really likes, and Derev in the chat here was really curious about, is Rafinha from Leeds. I know we've been linked to him through a couple different outlets, it looks like. I'm not sure the validity of those, but I know he has a high price tag. Any news on our interest in potentially adding like another winger and maybe Rafinha to the ranks?
I mean, Rafinha is definitely not coming. I'm pretty sure that's one that we can close the deal on. Not only.
Oh, Sophie gave you the boot. Sophie gave you the boot. Sorry about that. Yeah. You made Sophie mad. You'll learn not to make Sophie mad.
I saw an exclusive interview with Rafinha that he gave with Globo Esporte, which is a Portuguese Brazilian outlet. And he said there's no reason why to leave Leeds. Obviously, these quotes really haven't been published around because teams really need rumors to keep going, you know, but he said that he's more than happy to stay at Leeds. He's only been there, what, one season, 6 months? So he's not looking to leave. He did say, though, that Roberto Firmino was the first person to get in contact with him when he moved to the Premier League, and that he's very close friends with Fabinho and Firmino. So,
well, that's fucking useless, though, isn't it?
In a way, he was saying that he has close friends in both Man United and Liverpool, but
so he's going to United then, lads.
it could be an option, but considering that he, a report from Leeds Live also came out a few months ago saying that Leeds are not willing to sell Rafinha at any price unless it's an astronomical fee. A move for him just seems impossible. So considering that Liverpool usually go for bargain buys and young players, I doubt they're willing to spend 60 to 80 million on a winger from Leeds, you know. Plus, from the comments that he said, it seems like he's more than happy to stay at Leeds for at least one more season. So it looks very likely that he's going to be staying.
Dan, I'm just curious, out of forwards, you know, because there's obviously, I don't want to go for each one player with you, because but I think overall there's been obviously, you know, there's not many forwards Liverpool can probably get in the transfer market. You know, we're not going to get an Mbappe or Haaland ever, you know, or Sancho. Those are our price range. But when you look at, you know, obviously I think Leicester just signed Daka recently, and obviously there were hits and misses. There were people, like, some people liked him, some people didn't. But when you look at the kind of forwards that are available out there, I know people are going on a lot about Isak because he's had a good Euros, but then, I don't know.
Isak.
But I think he's got a big release clause, so I don't know how likely he is. But I was looking at something more like Vlahovic, Fiorentina, because I know Gattuso just has left them after, like, so might be potential of maybe getting him. I know somebody just also mentioned that Adam Holzek. I haven't seen much of him, but I think he's planning to score loads of goals at 17 or something. So who would you think is more realistic for Liverpool to get as a striker or as a forward this summer?
A few months back, I was actually looking at the constant reports from Daniel Malin from PSV. The thing here is that he's able to play as a striker and as a winger, and I'm pretty sure you guys already saw what he did for Netherlands. The guy is just one of those players that he has that Liverpool DNA on him. He's quick, he's agile, he has it all. And the fact that he is, his main position is a striker, but he can play anywhere in the front line. I think he's a perfect choice. And his price tag, I believe it's 25 million. I don't know if it's 25 million pounds or euros, but if it's euros, I mean, that's like 18 million pounds, you know? So he really is on a bargain right now. Obviously, euros are probably going to be raising his price tag. But even if you go out and pay 30 million for a player that can play anywhere in the front line, I think it's still a bargain. I think that it's a bargain that any team can get Florian Neuhaus for 30 million. I think the same thing with a front line player that can play anywhere in the front line for 30 million is more than worth it. So I really want Daniel Malin. It seems like Patson Daka wasn't, obviously, you know, we have an analytical team and statistical team behind players and scouts and whatnot. So one thing for sure is that if Liverpool didn't go for Daka at that price tag, I think it was like 17 or something like that quoted, is because they know that he's not going to work out in the Liverpool team. So we should stay calm that he didn't come, because if he didn't come, it's because Jurgen Klopp or the scout team just didn't think he will have the same traits that we will look for. But yeah, Daniel Malin, I think, is a great option. Jeremy Doku is a long-term target that we always wanted.
Yes.
But I just haven't seen really any reports claiming that we're back for Jeremy Doku. The only thing I've seen is him, his agents, and his parents saying that we went for him in 2018, and then supposedly we've been tracking him for a while. But other than that, Daniel Malin will be the answer, I think.
I hope it's Malin. Sorry to cut you off, homie, but just because of exactly what you said, because he can be a backup striker for Firmino, and then when Mane and Salah leave for the AFCON, he can slide right in there and play on the wing. Malin's the guy that I want. Fits the price tag. Like, it's just no brainer. And I think, again, just another guy who has a ton of upside. I think he comes into this team. You're looking at a guy who's going to be playing with the best players he's ever played with, and he's 22 years old. Like, that is the ideal age that we're looking for. And knowing that we have Jota and him in the ranks behind Mane, Firmino, and Salah, like, and then you have Harvey Elliott getting developed, like, that's the beginnings of something beautiful for the front three. So I hope that happens.
I was just going to say, like, with Marlon, Dan, do you not think Raiola is going to be an issue for us, Raiola attacks? Because I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't there an issue with him and Klopp a few years back or something where they had an issue? I don't know. I don't know if that was resolved, but would we go for Marlon to Raiola because of he's going to ask for ridiculous agency fees and stuff?
I mean, it really is going to impact whatever ends up happening with him. But, I mean, I know that Jurgen Klopp is not a really huge fan of Malin. I mean, not of Malin, of Raiola. So, but at the end of the day, of Mino Raiola.
No one likes him. Even his own players don't like him.
Exactly. So the thing
don't even think his ma fucking likes him.
Wow. Hot take.
Get your button out.
He does have, Raiola tends to go publicly and just call out teams, managers. He doesn't really care. So that is actually a great point that you raise up, Wyoming, because I don't know if club is willing to take or Liverpool is willing to take the risk and deal with him. But I mean, it really depends. He's a bargain, you know, in this current market. Even if he's looking for a way out, I mean, I feel like investing in him if you're not trying to keep and investing in a player like that, could eventually end up being really, really great. But, you know, that's actually a good point that I actually didn't even touch on. But the agency, the agent that he has is could really make it or break it.
Dan, so going back to like the midfield conversation, I think we all want Newhouse. I mean, he just adds an area that I think we desperately need a lot more creativity, especially since Naby Keita can't stay on the field for more than 20 minutes at a time. But two of the midfielders that we've been constantly linked to, I feel like, you know, Chris Welch has spent a lot of time talking about him in the chat, Yves Bissouma, but then also Tielemans. I would love to see us go for a guy like Tielemans. I think he's great. I mean, again, I prefer Newhouse over him, but I feel like those two guys we've been linked with the longest. Is there any truth to that? James Pierce was on a couple weeks ago with us. He said he doesn't think Bissouma is ultimately good enough for Liverpool. I would tend to agree. I think Tielemans, though, is the exact opposite. I think he'd be perfect for a team like us if we're looking for a Wijnaldum replacement. Based off of like where these rumors are coming from and the outlets who are reporting them, is there any truth to our interests in either one of these players?
So on Bissouma, I don't think I've really seen anybody other than Fabrizio Romano mentioned recently that we were behind him. Now, obviously, we all know how credible Fabrizio Romano is, but he doesn't really say that we really are trying to approach for a deal. So other than him, I haven't really seen any outlet claim that we're after him. In fact, I've seen plenty of outlets and journalists say that he's not a target for us. So, I mean, the last time I think we posted something about him was maybe like a month ago. So it looks like the rumors have really died down on him. Tielemans, on the other hand, the most reliable outlet or newspaper on Belgium actually claimed that we're interested in him and that we want him, as well as a few Belgian journalists that are very, very reliable as well. So it looks like the interest is real. But with the Euros raising his price tag, with his contract still having like 2 or 3 years left, and with him being one of the most important players on that Leicester team, you're looking at a 70-plus million fee for Tielemans. So, I mean, it's pretty a price tag like that, Liverpool are going to try to stay away from, you know. But looks like the Tielemans rumors are real. It's just very unlikely, obviously, that Liverpool will go for a player that costs 70 million plus.
See, I like Tielemans, I really do, and I think he would be a great, like, Genie replacement. He wouldn't be Genie, but I don't want a Genie replacement.
Yeah.
Like, I think I love Genie, and, like, both the boys here will tell you that I'd fight to the end of the earth for Genie Wijnaldum. Like, I'd batter anyone who says a cross word about him, Ricky. But, like, I just think with the midfield that we've got, you know, we've got Henderson, Fabinho, we've got Thiago, Milner, Jones, Shaqiri, Ox. It's not a very creative midfield. It's a very defensive holding midfield. And I don't want a defensive holding midfield anymore, especially with Bobby not really succeeding in that false nine role and taking more of a cam attacking role, like, falling back a little bit more in midfield. We need someone who can funnel. Like I said it before, like Liverpool is a domino effect. What comes from defence all the way through midfield, we are a full team. We don't have out and out players who are just the be all and end all. And I just think if we're going to get someone to replace Genie, I'd rather have Newhouse. Like, I'd much rather have an attacking creative player who can bring something new and new intensity to the team rather than Tielemans. Especially if Newhouse, like, his release clause was 34 million. Say they drive his price up to like 45. Michael Edwards will get like a 5 million upfront fee and then like the rest owed over 65 years plus interest. Like, you know, he's going to get a bargain for him. And like, we're going to pay basically nothing for him. And he's going to earn that money back, especially with add ons and bonuses. And Tielemans, like, at least 70 mil. Like, I know Tielemans got the Premier League experience under his belt and that, but for 70 mil, you could get two players. You could get Marlon and you could probably get Newhouse for that money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think you make a really good point there, too, Sophie, about our style.
Oh, thanks. It didn't just go, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, for the first time, I was actually listening to you when you were speaking. So. Mahomie and I know both agree. We want somebody who's more attacking, somebody who can go get a goal in the midfield. But to your point, though, Sophie, like you nailed on the head. Like, we are a defensive midfield. And then when you look at the cast of people that we have in the midfield right now, the only reliable guys to play week in, week out are the ones who are a little bit more defensive minded. Like Naby Keita, not reliable. Ox, not reliable. Minamino, is he even gonna be on the team? Like Shaqiri sometimes plays in the middle there, like not ultimately reliable. Like my key thing is I want a reliable guy in there, number one, and a guy who's more attacking, not attacking focused. And I think Newhouse would be that guy. Tielemans would be great, but like you said, that price tag, you can literally go get two other guys that would be a great fit for this team for that same price tag. So I completely agree with that assessment.
And I just don't see Liverpool paying 70 million for Tielemans when we paid 75 for Virgil, we paid 67 for Alisson. Like, I just don't think he's at that level.
No.
Like, he's a very, very good player, and I'm not disputing, I'm not taking away from that at all, I'm not distracting from that fact. But 70 million, either 60, 80, like, you know, within that bracket, that's a lot of money for a player when you're signing superstars like Alisson and even Thiago, who's a decorated champion, has won everything in world football. He only costs, what, 40 million? 45?
Yeah.
And I know he's older, but I just don't see it. It just seems ridiculous.
That is true. Plus, I mean, the fact that, just like you guys say, the fact that we don't bring a Gini Wijnaldum replacement or an exact Gini Wijnaldum replacement doesn't mean we're going to be weaker. Remember what happened when Felipe Coutinho left? Everybody was begging for a number 10 replacement or just a Felipe Coutinho replacement. It never came in. And we're one of the strongest sides we've ever been ever since he left. So if we can just bring one midfielder in, even if he doesn't have the exact same traits as Gini, it could make us way stronger than we are now. So I agree with the fact that not only I also don't want a Gini replacement, I don't think we need a Gini replacement. If anything, we can turn Curtis Jones into something similar if that's what we want. But we should start adding players that have different traits and then, or just something that we don't have in midfield.
Yeah, agreed, Dan. Agreed. But the one thing just to close out our conversation here, Dan. Listen, like we know who Liverpool are when it comes to what we're going to spend, things like that. We did spend a decent amount of money on Konate. Like, how excited are you about Konate coming into this team? Like, do you think that he's going to make a major impact? And like, because I personally think long term he's going to be huge. But I think a lot of people think we signed a world class center back already. And he's not, in my opinion, he's not there yet. But he has all of the characteristics that you would want for a world class center back.
Oh, I mean, Konate is just incredible. The only issue really is that we're not able to see him play. Well, we weren't really able to see him play much in the Bundesliga, mainly due to his injuries. But when he was fit, he was an immediate starter for Leipzig. When they had a back line of three, it was him, Upamecano, sometimes Orban or someone else. But he was always in their front line. So, you know, you're getting an immediate starter in this team. This is a world-class player, regardless if he's young or not. So the fact that we went for someone of that profile really excites me, because this could really mean, I'm going to say this hopefully, and it doesn't sound too bad, but this could really mean the end of Joe Gomez, honestly, because I think Konate has a higher ceiling than him. And if we don't see the end of Joe Gomez, this could be the transition of Joe Gomez from center back to right back as a backup to Trent. I do think that Konate has better height, better speed, and better intelligence or football IQ in the field. So this is a really intriguing signing. This is basically like saying, okay, maybe you have Fabinho in midfield, but then you end up bringing, I don't know, maybe one of the Casemiro to the team. Just an example. you're gonna have two world class players fighting for a starting spot, and this is only exciting, and it's gonna be interesting to see who ends up taking that starting spot, unless Jurgen Klopp switches to a three at the back, which I really, really doubt.
Yeah, I doubt that.
You need competition though, don't you? Like, we saw how Salah upped his game when Jota came in, and at first he was like, meh, and then Jota obviously started banging goals in left, right, and centre before he got injured, and the front three kind of went, oh, he's pretty good, isn't he? Like, fuck. And like, you know, he actually did look like he stepped up the game. And I think players, when they know that they're a set starter, it's inevitable that you're going to just rest on your laurels a little bit. But I think if we get somebody like, obviously, Konate, he's definitely going to make Gomez and Matip have to step their game up massively, because we know Virgil's going nowhere. We know that he's going to be incredibly. I can't wait. I can't wait for him to do that.
I just seen breaking news, everyone. Apparently, Chris Bascombe is saying that Liverpool received an offer from Burnley of 10 million from Nat Phillips. Who asked for 15 million.
Right on time as we were talking about it.
Just breaking. Yeah, Liverpool received an offer approach for Burnley from Nat Phillips.
It's going to be down to him, just like we were saying. It's going to be really a personal choice. I don't think Liverpool are in a rush to sell him. It's going to be up to Phillips. Will he take the move out or not?
If you can get 15, if we call back and say, hey, 15 mil, and we got a deal, Burnley's center backs of Tarkowski and Phillips would be pretty solid. That'd be a pretty solid back partnership.
Apparently, saying here that we're willing to listen to offers of an initial 10 million, with further add-ons taking it to 15 million.
Mm. That'd be interesting.
That'd make Burnley.
Even more annoying to play against, because
imagine if that's the fucking Ben Me. Honest to God, do you know what? You'd never hear the fucking end of it, would you? Between him and Ben Me, you'd never get a goal. You just sit them on the fucking goal line with a shield and go, nah.
Sean Dyke's been dreams come true, though. He'd love it. Phillips is actually a Dyke player, you know.
Really is.
Dyke really player. Is.
So, last question, massive
moment, because this could really be the moment Liverpool bring back Ozan Kabak. So it could be huge, but obviously, you know, we'll see what happens. But if I feel like if Phillips goes to Burnley and Ozan Kabak comes back, that will be an incredible deal. Like, it's such a great deal.
Yeah, that'd be a good deal. But Dan, to close it out, what? For you, what would be the perfect window for us? Just speaking about incomings, we don't have to worry about outgoings, but incomings. If you had the ability, based off of everyone we talked about today, what do you hope happens from the Liverpool standpoint to make us? I think we're already contenders for the title, but that would put us over the top and make us, you know, that best team in the Premier League again.
I think definitely bringing someone like Daniel Malin, Florian Neuhaus, and somebody with a similar profile to Nico Williams that can play both left back and right back, or just maybe right back and midfield. You know, someone that can cover that trend spot. But if we just bring Daniel Malin and Florian Neuhaus, I'll be more than happy. Also, I want to keep Loris Karius just because I don't want Adrian as third choice. Like, I'd rather keep Kelleher. I want Alisson, Kelleher, and Carey as number three. I don't want to see Adrian anywhere near our team.
Sophie's facing the first list.
Sophie's surprised. She's raging.
Yeah. Carey.
She's speechless. I've never seen Sophie speechless.
Obviously, I mean, of course, we're getting the best. The best of two evils. Like, which one would you take, Adrian or Carey? Is that Here's where you choose.
Yeah, honestly, I would, if you actually gave me the option, if we're talking about on the pitch, I would take Karius over Adrian if you're talking strictly on the pitch. But I think Adrian's is well liked in the locker room, apparently. So, oh, perfect. Sophie left, so that's good.
Sophie had enough of it. She didn't want any more of it.
No, she didn't want any more.
You want, we're meant to be finishing this off. You want smoke hands back? The man whose right, hands are literal smoke. Like
Butterfingers.
That man couldn't catch a ball if it was placed in his hands. Like, I'm not Adrian's biggest fan. I can't stand the man. But third choice goalies are never going to play. Never ever going to play. Like, name me, was on top of your head, where a third choice goalie's at a play. Like, it doesn't happen very often. Adrian can stop penalties. That's the good thing about him. He is a very, very good penalty stopper. And he, in his defense, he did, when Alisson got injured in that Norwich game, he went on an 11-game streak, and he did a really good job with it.
Yeah, yeah.
He did win the Super Cup with him. He did. Yet he made you a mistake. Yes, I'm not his biggest fan at all. But fucking Lottis. No!
I just don't feel comfortable with Adrian in goal. I'm pretty sure.
And I don't feel comfortable with fucking Lottis Karius anywhere near fucking Liverpool. He rolled the fucking ball to Bale and went, there you go.
I chuck them both out, to be honest.
It really is about choosing one of the two worst third choice goalkeeper options that we can choose. But if it was down to me, I would just get someone younger. Just someone younger. And you know, I hated what Lloris Karius did in that final. But man, Adrian in goal and just. Oh my god! I just get so desperate every time I see him.
Yeah.
Dan, what about Petaluka?
Petaluka, you know, although he's one of the most rated prospects in Europe, you know, because when he came in, he was the top youngster in the Brazilian squad. He was playing for the main team when he was 17 or something like that. But the problem is that even if you bring Petaluka, you're now having two young goalkeepers. You have no experience at the back. So, I mean, it's either settle down for a 25-year-old that is not as good, a good goalkeeper, or a 35-year-old goalkeeper that is not too good. So, I mean, really, it's a matter of choice. You know, whoever prefers Adrian take Adrian or Karius.
About Adrian, like, Adrian's obviously, he's not going anywhere. He signs an extension. But he is a good penalty stopper. We know that Alisson can't save a penalty for fucking Toffees. I love him, but he can't. He literally can't. I don't know why. He can save a goal that's coming from about 60 feet while his eyes are closed and he can fucking save it, but he can't save a penalty for his life. I don't know why. But Adrian really can. I'm like, he's very, very good at it. A penalty, he just reads it so well. And I don't think, oh my God, I'm going to get shot for saying this. When Virgil and Konate and Fabinho and Thiago and Henderson are in front of Adrian, he might not make as many of those mistakes because he might.
It's a hot take.
It is, yes. He might not feel the pressure to come off his line as much because. You know, if he's coming off his line, Virgil's going to turn on and go get the fuck back in there now. Like, Virgil, he commands that back line. He's not going to have it. Canate's not going to have it. Henderson's not going to have it. Fabinho and Thiago. Yeah, I want this. Yeah, fuck them both up. I want him.
I don't think that Awana guy from Ajax is going to come and play third. Be third
well, obviously from. Not.
No.
Hey, no, but Sophie does have a point. Do you guys remember when Lloris Karius was on his first season when he had a back line of Virgil van Dijk, Joel Matip, I think it was it Robertson and Trent? I mean, everybody was raging about him and saying how good he was. And I feel like something similarly could happen with Adrian. If you have such quality players in front of him, I don't really think we have much to worry about. Mm. You can really put anybody in goal. And we should be fine. So actually, that is a great point that she brought up. I think.
Yeah.
I chuck a curveball. Do you remember like Villa game when we had Van Dijk and Gomez?
Yeah.
And a long shot went to Adrian, and he just let it in. That's what I'm saying.
Oh my don't remind me that.
Well,
you know,
he made one mistake. he made one mistake, and then there was three deflections, and then there was a couple other ones in there. But
that was a very unlucky game. I don't think you can blame Adrian for that, because obviously we say when Virgil comes in, we've got a solid back line, and Virgil fucked up. A lot of the Liverpool players fucked up that day. I can't believe I'm fucking defending Adrian. Oh my God. But you know what? I'd rather have Mignolet back.
Oh, that's actually amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
I'd rather have a fucking golden retriever back than have smoke hands and fucking diabolical Jill over there.
Well, I think that's perfect place to end this segment. But to close out here, we just got a quick couple of trivia questions. Dan, we had a new segment at the end here. We just want to have a little fun, ask a couple of questions about each other and learn a little bit more about each other. So who's got the trivia questions tonight?
I don't. I'm not allowed to make trivia questions anymore, Dan, because I get told off.
Well, yeah, so you had one.
No, I don't have any.
Oh, you don't have any?
No.
Okay. So I got one. Homie, you got one?
Yeah, I can think of one, yeah.
All right.
Okay. So, birds, land animals, sea animals.
if you could pick any footballer and have their abilities, like past or present, who would you want to have? And like, I don't want to hear like Messi, Ronaldo, because they're the best. I want to, like, you know, something a little creative, something that either fits how you like to play or as a player that you really like, something like that.
That's these for me, it's an easy one. There's one player that I think is the best player in the world and doesn't really get the hype to being the best ever. And it's not Pele, it's not Maradona. In my opinion, it's not even Ronaldo and Messi. For me, it's always has been and it will be Ronaldinho. And I think he's just that one player that immediately, whichever side you put him on, he's going to be the main difference. It doesn't matter whichever position you have him on. He's just awesome, not only to watch, but he's such a threat. I think he's the best ever. And if I could have the skills of someone, it has to be him.
I love that. That's a good call. Yeah, he's flashy as fuck, too. That's what's cool. He's got a swag to him. What do you got, homie?
My one was
Adrian.
My mom was a Brazilian, I think as well, he was very underrated. I wasn't given enough credit, especially for his skill set and stuff, the stuff he could do. I think he also played in a poor Barcelona side at the time. If he played with better players, he would have got better recognition. I think Rivaldo, for me, was sensational. He was just unlucky to play the crap Barcelona team at the time, but if he played in a really good Barcelona team, he would... He had it all because he could do like long range shots. I still remember that arguably the best hat trick ever when he scored that hat trick against Valencia. So he had kick in the last 5 minutes. So Rivaldo.
So,
as always, I'm going to be difficult. I've got to have a Scouse one. I've got to. Gerrard.
Yeah.
All day, every day, like. It has to be Steven Gerrard. He's the kid. He's the one that, as a kid, when you were playing Kick the Can or Kirby, like, you hoofed that can at your mate's head and you shouted, Gerrard! Like, that's what you did. Like, your mate was walking past you in school and you just go, oi! Knobhead! Boofed! Gerrard! That's all you did. That's it. 40-yard screamer. Like, you shot something out of, like, 12 yards and you thought you were Steven Gerrard for 40 yards. Like, there was a reason he was loved so much. Like, had to be Gerrard. For a non-Scouse one, I'd have Thierry Henry. He was just such a classy player. Like, he was a bit of a knobhead, like, but you know what I mean? Like, his style of play, he was just so good at what he did. There's a reason he was an amazing striker. And there's a reason he's in the Hall of Greats as well. Like, he's just phenomenal. And even now, when he does, like, his analysis and stuff, I just sit there and just go, tell me more. Like, he's just so good at the game, and like, watching him play was incredible. Like, has to be Thierry Henry.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like both. I mean, obviously Gerrard's a god. He's probably like one of the main reasons like why I started watching Liverpool versus his highlights on YouTube. Absolutely incredible. But for me, I think it'd be Zlatan for me, just like Anthony. I think it'd be Zlatan just because he's a cocky prick, and yet he's so fucking good, and he always backs up. He always backs up his trash talk. That's like
unlike Wolverine.
I think maybe Zlatan, but also when I was a sophomore in college playing my college uni team, I got broken glass in my eye and I had to have surgery. And like, so now anytime I play footy, I have to wear glasses. So because of that, I also have to give a shout out to Edgar Davids because I had the same glasses as Edgar Davids.
You have special boy glasses?
I guess special boy glasses, yep.
Do you get your name on the side?
I didn't wear goggles. I had glasses. I had the Edgar Davids glasses.
Do you have your name on the side and your number with Go Faster stripes?
No, but I had Oakleys on. I had Oakleys though, so it was fresh.
Man, how are you not blind, Steve? Jeez.
I got lucky, man. I got lucky. That's a story for another day. But yeah, I got incredibly lucky.
And I get told off for making it morbid.
I'm pissed off. what's your question here so we can wrap up?
My one is, if you had to pick one, if you're an assistant manager learning your trade and you had to pick one manager ever that's going to take you to the next level to be world class, who are you picking?
Klopp.
Talk about history of football.
What?
History
of football. No, Shankly. I'm excited.
Oh yeah, I mean,
okay.
I agree with Anthony. I would choose Roy Hodgson.
Oh,
that is a hard.
Who are you going for, Dan?
Shoot, I mean, obviously nowadays, current football times, I don't think there really is a better manager than Jurgen Klopp, whether that's personality wise and tactics wise. But I think as far as I know, he's probably the best one ever. He also is pretty great, but I think Klopp is just levels above him. He's just awesome. I would obviously say Klopp.
Yeah, obviously, modern day time, Klopp. But I think because Sophie's taken Shankly, I'd go for Brian Clough because we did Nottingham Forest. I think he turned them from nothing into great.
Brian Clough's a prick, though.
Then Wahomey would be perfect underneath him, wouldn't he?
Oh, there she goes. Drops the hammer. But yeah, I think for me it would be I'd just have to go Klopp. I mean, Shankly's a good shout too. I mean, I think those two would be the top, like, for sure. My question would be who would be number three for me, because like obviously like you have guys like Fergie who comes to mind, shit like that. But I can't take somebody from Man United. So. But good. I think that's a good Anthony, I'm going to give you a shout out here. Rafa, interesting shout. Doug here. Jockstein, non-Liverpool, but Liverpool would be Bill Shankly. I like that call. But this was an awesome episode. Dan, thanks so much for joining us, letting us know what's valid, what's not. It's always a pleasure to have you on during the transfer windows, and definitely looking forward to having you back on.
Thank you, boys. Thank you, guys. And Sophie, it was awesome. I really enjoyed it. Hopefully we can do it again sometime.
See, you only enjoy it when I'm on here. When you two are on here,
she did add something different to the team. I loved it. That was good.
It's cool. Which one of you just muted me?
Oh, who you think?
Well, I hope he's laughing over there. Look at him.
If you all read our shit.
That was me. That was right, That's it for this episode. If you guys haven't yet, go hit that like and subscribe button.
Fuck you then. That's better.
Now children.
Oh my god.
let's see out the show. Children, let's see out the show.
Dad, Sophie's bothering me. This was an awesome episode. We're getting loopy, so we gotta wrap this up, but we're gonna be back on Friday. Super fun episode. We're gonna do a nice slang competition, USA versus Britain. We all know Britain slang is better, but it's gonna be a lot of fun. Thanks again to Dan for joining us. If you guys don't follow LFC Transfer Room, go ahead and do that. They do blogs, they have podcasts, they have awesome news. Go check out all that stuff. If you haven't yet, go hit the like and subscribe button. We're one away from 400, hoping to hit 500 by the start of the year. Please, please help us grow. We got an awesome giveaway coming. And otherwise, we'll be back on Friday. Make sure you tune in. It's going to be a bunch of fun. The chat was awesome, as always. Anthony, Doug, Chris, Durav, you guys are all great. Until then, though, we'll see you Friday. Stay safe, stay healthy, and enjoy the rest of your week, everyone. Take care.